Any progress not saved will be lost. It's time for Jet Theory Radio. Jet Theory Radio, my name is David, but you may know me better as the one they call Jetter. I want to thank you in advance for tuning in and listening with us today. We got a really good one here for you guys today. As a not-so-special treat, I'm going to introduce the man to my left right now, Mr. Gail Murren.
Oh, the Shady Justice.
Oh, that's an afterthought, folks. Not his real name. That's all right. He'll answer to Gail Murren anyway. Mr. Murren.
You might be a step
or two behind here because you're ingesting a little bit of a beverage. What beverage are you ingesting today?
Well, the voice of reason is drinking the Long Walk by Fourth Tap. And so is James. Oh, cheers. I got a drinker.
You got a drinking buddy.
Salute.
Yay, it's a friend. Yes, on joining us today, and we're going to be talking about various subjects like teenage children, some work-related stress, as well as possibly discontinued foods, if not more. I don't know. We'll see how hungry we get with everything else. James, how you doing today?
I'm doing all right, guys. Thanks for having me on. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to getting into this little dibble-dabble, you know, thing of discussions, and I hope we can have something good come out of it.
Mm-hmm. I'm hoping so, too. Murren, I thank you. You feeling it?
I'm ready? I'm feeling it today.
Pumped up?
I'm
excited.
Pumped.
We're re-recording this, and this is a Thursday night, as opposed to our typical Saturday night, just because we're trying to squeeze another one in before Murren goes on a trip. These actually might be his famous last recorded words. We don't know.
The last time you could hear the voice of reason.
I don't want to hear that tune.
No. Everything's going to be fine.
Mm-hmm. Gail is going to be out touring with a band. A lot of close friends of ours are in the band.
Later days,
hailing from Austin, Texas. Going to be going on tour through Philadelphia, Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Kentucky, if I remember right?
So it's Dallas to Kentucky to Philly to Jersey to Pittsburgh to Cincinnati, Chicago, and Bloomington.
The unfortunate thing is, by the time this probably airs, it's going to be afterwards. In fact,
yes.
We know it's going to be afterwards, which is unfortunate.
So I will know what's happened to me already.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a plan, man.
So,
are you all excited about the road trip and all of that goodie?
Oh, yeah. I do remember. I'm going to be a little bit of a babysitter.
Well, I was going to say, aren't you like going near your neck of the woods and stuff
yeah.
like that?
Yeah. Going to see my family. Mm-hmm. I have a... Since this is going to air after that date, I can talk about it. My father's 70th birthday will have happened.
Sir Murren.
That's nice.
So get a nice visit in Bloomington for that on the last day of tour. Get then to do that wonderful 15-hour drive.
Well, it's 15 hours from Bloomington back here by car. You aren't going to be driving a car now, are you?
No, we're going to be driving a giant van. So maybe 20 as we struggle to hit that 65-mile-an-hour range.
Holy. Oh, that's going to be wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you're going to pretty much be the tour manager, babysitting all the kids. It's very much like one topic that we're going to get into that, James, you have a lot of experience about. Gail's going to have some experience there touring. You know, having teenage kids around. Or people with the mindset of teenage children. Hey-o!
Well, that's an underhanded jab.
I see. Oh, look at that. They're already in the house. That's what kids do. They run in, they knock down stuff, they yell, they scream, they shout, where's my food at? You know? That's, most of the time.
That sounds like Jetter.
I experienced something really interesting this week with my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
She was in a wrestling match with her school. Mm-hmm. Can we say her school name on it? Probably not. We'll just leave it anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
But in any case, she was almost this close to making state. And even though she still got to go, she's not able to wrestle. And her counterpart, she's supposed to wrestle, is going to get a free ride.
So what happened?
At the last part of the wrestling match this past Saturday, her opponent that she was wrestling with fell on top of her as they both fell backwards, and she tried to brace herself the best she could and fell on her elbow. And man, let me tell you, they got a sling on her arm now. It looks like the bionic woman is ready for action.
I saw that. That's like, it's so weird to me because you would think with the
it looks like it's armor plated.
I know. Yeah. Is it exoskeleton?
Exo.
You know what it's reminding me of? It reminds me of that in Batman, The Dark Knight Rises, where he gets that brace for his knee. It reminded me of that. Just a little bit bulkier.
I mean, you know, most people are wearing boots when their foot get ran over or broken or something. But, you know, it's the stressing, I ain't gonna say stressing, but the teenage years, you get to experience, you know, having to get them to the doctor, had to go get them out of school, you know, running all over town. And this town, with the way it's compact with traffic, that'd make it easy for anything, you know.
Yeah.
But you want to be there for your kiddos.
Was she in pain, like, during the whole trip there? Or was it, like, was she pretty, like, level-headed about it, or what was her reaction?
Well, you know, I mean, she, you know, I want to say a little bit of both, you know, trying to keep a level head, but there were moments where pains were pretty intense, and when they tried to reset her arm because they didn't think it was broken, they tried to put it back in the socket or whatever, and it turns out that it wasn't broke, it was just out of the socket. The arm swole, and it kind of made for, you know, stressful situation. So
it wasn't a goofing around situation.
No. She was really trying to accomplish something. So, you know,
I mean, talking of teenage kids, someone had an experience that was kind of goofing around lately. What was your latest injury?
Which one are you referring to? I mean, there are several to choose from.
I was talking about your arm.
Yeah, my arm getting run over. It's fun and all, but, you know, it's not, I wasn't a teenage thought, you know, in the thought process or in the mindset of somebody like a teenager.
I mean, we kind of were.
You were, I wasn't.
Okay.
Two drinks over the course of 3 hours does not, like, bend the mind, okay?
But still, the action involved was kind of teenagers. I mean, it was it's called frat boyish.
Okay.
You jumped to the side of a Jeep and tried to hold on.
I didn't jump. From the side of a Jeep.
Oh, I guess you stepped up onto.
Have you ever heard the story, James?
Wait, I thought that happened recently.
Yeah.
I mean, no, I thought it happened a long time ago.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I guess last it summer? Has been a while, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the last time the man was injured.
And I'm thinking the way he's explaining it is like, what happened again?
So we jumped. My friend was driving down the road, or driving us back to our car because we were all walking away from the bar. And, you know, it was pretty much everybody just jump on to the Jeep and just, let's keep going. So I jumped on the driver's side. Well, we go, because my car's, like, only a block down the way. I'm holding on to the mirror, which is pretty much the only thing that I have to hold on to. I take my hand off, my left hand's on the mirror. My right hand, I wave to him saying, that's my car, as we're going over a speed bump. Well, as we're going over a speed bump and he's starting to slow down, the jerk and the momentum launches me up in the air. Because I have, you know, I'm not strapped in or anything, and my one hand, sorry, momentum is just going one direction while the car is stopping. And I go forward, and the car runs over my hand. My right arm ends up pinned under the front driver's side wheel.
Ooh. And I mean, that's nothing like a teenager. That's,
it didn't break his arm.
It didn't break my arm. That's the thing. It's the same, like, toughness there. It just
So that's something to be said. He got run over by a Jeep, but didn't break his arm. Daughter was in a wrestling match, broke her arm, and she took the pain.
Well, here's something I like to throw at that, since you got ran over by a tire with a full vehicle on it. How about being a little kid at about my young age and having a dump truck where my head got stuck between the wheels?
Oh, that sounds a little bit painful.
Yeah, I felt a little dizzy, a little weirded out, but, you know, my brother was, like, losing it. Oh, my gosh.
So how old were you in this scenario?
I want to say I was probably 4 or 5.
So how does... what's the story behind that? Because there's...
I tried to follow my brother across the street when I was living in New Orleans, and wasn't paying attention. And this truck just... I don't know. I wasn't paying attention, and I ran across the street. And as I'm running, I fall because my body's kind of low to the ground. The vehicle continues to roll, and as it's rolling by, I wasn't even thinking about it. And I laid I tried to roll from underneath it, mm-hmm. and as I did, the truck, dual wheels, caught my head in between it, and then let it go, but I was, like, dizzy.
Yeah.
I survived it, but I was dizzy.
Mm.
So.
I haven't had these big stories.
Oh, there you go. Hey, look.
Now, I did once, my sister jumping off a swing set did snap her arm right here, and it was just hanging, and I... Mm-hmm.
We had mid forearm.
We're still inside the skin?
Yeah, mid forearm. Mm-hmm. And we, I had to, still inside the skin. Nothing protruded.
Mm-hmm.
I was the one, because my mom was too grossed up. We lived down the street from a hospital. I carried her arm, kind of setting it back into place all the way down the block till we got, that was pretty gross. Mm-hmm. It was just kind of there.
Did you make jokes while you were there walking with her?
What do you think? It's me.
Mm-hmm. No, he was being helpful, big brother. This is a moment when he doesn't want to, like, admit a little bit of softness and kindness mm-hmm. and, like, big brotherness.
You know, we've experienced that, haven't we?
Mm-hmm. Just a little bit. As he shakes his head no and is silent. Like, it's weird. Like, I never really had any major, no broken bones in my life growing up either. Like, I had more concussion incidents than anything. Especially when I was, like, little, like, I was, like, it was even before then. I was, like, under the age of 7 or 6, something like that. And I was at some relative's wedding. My uncle had me on the dance floor, and he dipped me. And, like, my head, I spun around, and my head hit right on the gymnasium floor.
Mm.
2 black eyes for months and stuff like that. I don't remember the dance part, but I remember being at the hospital afterwards.
Well, you learn a lot from that.
So I have another question.
Mm-hmm.
What does your daughter do? How does she hurt her arm?
She's a varsity wrestler at a certain high school.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to go back to a certain word. She does what again?
Wrestler.
She's a wrestler.
Wrestler.
Excuse me. She's a wrestler.
That's the enunciation.
She's a wrestler.
You know what that is. Where you're coming from, James, it's the, it reminds me of Ted Turner. He's in the wrestling business. Uh-huh. Like, I was a big, like, WWF, or WWE as it's called nowadays,
uh-huh.
fan growing up. Mm-hmm. And it was always Vince McMahon as, like, the wrestler.
Mm-hmm. So, that's funny you said it. We'll get on that topic the next time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're going to table the WWE and F talk for the moment. Move on to a different episode.
Apparently that's a big flag right there.
Yeah.
All right.
But it's the language. Where did you, is that like the way you've always talked growing up? Like calling it wrestling?
Well, I mean, yeah, because I had a speech impediment, but you know, you kind of grow out of certain things, mm-hmm. but
I always had, my thing was talk was, it was never Washington. It was Washington. Or I wash my clothes.
Oh, you wash your clothes.
Yeah, I wash my clothes.
I wash my clothes.
So
yeah.
Again, but that's childhood stuff we try mm-hmm. to grow out of. But
I mean, here in we're now in Texas. They're fixing to do things.
Well, over yonder.
Over yonder.
Y'all gotta shut up, okay?
Y'all shut your mouth. Your purdy mouth.
Now, there's a coworker of mine. He sits right next to me, and he uses it. And it, like, to him, it's second nature, but to me, it's still something strange to hear.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes, like, it'll be, I'll be in the middle of taking a call because I work in a call center, and you get stressed out enough, and, like, you overhear your coworker, and then it's just y'all. And it just throws for a minute. It's like, yeah. Have a nice little laugh for the day.
So, what's that work stress you wanted to talk about?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's about upper management. How much do they care about the little guy?
Mm-hmm.
And I look at that, and there's always this routine of get it, get it, get it. Just do mm-hmm. what I say, just get it, make it done, you
mm-hmm.
know, make it happen. You know, nowadays, with the way our economy is built, it's almost like you get a job, but the person who was here before you has had the job, mm-hmm. and now they had to leave, and now you're getting all the extra work. Sorry.
Nope, that's fine. So you're getting all their extra work?
And yeah, I'm getting all the extra work, but I'm also feeling like I'm being targeted. And it's causing a little stress at work. management has a strange way of communicating with people. Mm-hmm. We're going through a transition right now. And it just seemed like there's this blockage area where only management, directors, they communicate. And with the way they communicate, the stress, the information never gets down until it's a little too late and it compounds.
So, you know, that's like the job I had before I moved down here, it was with project management. So part of like, it sounds like what you're going through is exactly what we always touched on with project management, which is essentially change management. Mm-hmm. Talk to the right people at the right spots where they can communicate everything that's really open. Mm-hmm. And the more open and just upfront you are about the changes coming up and stuff like that, the better the transition will be. And the more, like, there's a connection between higher-ups and then just a regular worker and stuff. That doesn't sound like that's what's going on there for you guys.
No. It sounds like they're moving, they're transitioning in between this zone, I call it. Mm-hmm. You know, you have a commissioner, you have directors mm-hmm. 2-3, all the way down to leads and supervisors. But when it comes to actual worker bees, the communication is broken and it's delayed. It's like, hey, you said something 3 weeks ago. We're just now getting the info and mm-hmm. you want us to do what and how much time you wanted to have it done? And, you know, it's not good for any individual that has a family, you know. Mm-hmm. And you slowly kind of creep this information back home because and you're bringing the stress home.
So, in my world, they're doing it a little differently. We've been doing it where top-down comes with giant initiatives, right? Mm-hmm. But they don't give you the details on how they want it done.
Leave the details up to you.
Yep, because we're all different. We're all different in different ways. Mm-hmm. Here's your objective. But instead of just getting there and not asking why, they want you to come up with a plan and give it to them. Mm-hmm. So,
and when you do,
it's a little bit better. Doesn't work every time, but I would say 75% of the time it does.
There at least sounds like there's consistent direction with what they expect of you.
Yes.
James, it doesn't sound like there's that consistency. Mm-mm. I'm in the middle of a transition with the company I'm working with where there's a lot of transition going on, and it seems like every month there's a different set of something being prioritized. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily that things are changing, but that just, oh, well, we were going to focus on this, now we're doing this. Okay, this is out of battle plan now. Oh, wait, we're going to skip it and do something else. Equally as stressful and as frustrating because you want to be able to communicate that with whoever, like, is on the working in a call center, like mm-hmm. I do. You want to be able to communicate to people the right information.
Right. It takes a good leader to be able to channel that information mm-hmm. that you have SMEs that do certain things to help, you know, lighten the load. Mm-hmm. So by the time the information really gets to you, you know exactly where your expertise come into play and make the job and make the transition a whole lot smoother to run with. Mm-hmm. When that information doesn't come your way, you're sitting there going, what's next? And then all of a sudden you get this dump truck and you go, where the heck did that come from? Mm-hmm. You know.
All of a sudden you're like, oh, we know it's Friday at 4:00, but here's five projects that need to be done in half an hour. Sign off on them all.
And the worst ones are the ones that are way up here, and I'm thinking, how come you guys never come down, chill with your folks, get to know them, mm-hmm. know the departments, you know? You can't be that much better than us.
My company does that. You're talking about this where we're going this way and that way, and exactly what you say, well, why don't they do that? Well, mine does. Mine offers a plan but just wants you to give them the plan to get there. Like, it's letting you do what you do, but they want to know what you're going to do before you do it. Mm-hmm. They just want to hold you accountable.
See, you know, that's a product of working with a large company, working with a lot of upper management, working with people that just, there are so many levels removed from the basic worker bee, more or less, to the higher up, big guy.
For me,
I've really found happiness and success in life with the jobs I've had, where it's either a restaurant job where everybody knows each other, mm-hmm. and it's a small restaurant chain of like mm-hmm. 4 or 5 spots, and then like in like more of the 9-to-5 kind of work environment, the small businesses that grew up. You know, I worked for an internet company before, worked for real estate company now. And it's just nice to be able to sit there and know that there's only like a 5-level difference max between you and the higher up. And you have their ear if you want to go to them.
You know, that brings up an interesting question too. So being that you're in a management role that you're in, I mean, is there a certain thing, a rule that, you know, hey, your subordinates below you can't really communicate or consult with other directors or managers? Like, have you ever had anybody tell you?
Oh, yeah. Are you the gatekeeper?
Don't talk to them.
No.
Don't talk to them.
You're not the gatekeeper? No.
Open door.
Don't socialize with them.
Open door. If you want to talk to someone in Arkansas who has really nothing to do with me at all, but you want to let off your chest, on a technicality, you can do that. I mean, it's not going to get you anywhere because it's not the right person.
Yeah.
But on the technicality, it's an open door, so they would have to listen. But what if they would do is then communicate to the right person.
Well, what if they're coming to Texas to visit? You know, members from other store locations and wanted to come see your project that you've done, but yet they come and tell you, hey, don't talk to that guy too much. Just say hi and bye. Keep going.
Yeah, no. Open door.
And see, and I to me personally, I think that's a big help if they could. I'm not saying take up the management's time. You know, if they're coming down, you want to see, you know, what it is that they're sharing to help. Hey, get a better idea. Why and how did you get into this role? What makes you such a great leader? My understanding is that with leaders, you build the foundation on the bottom. And that trust comes with that. And as long as you've got a good trust with your management or your leader that's running the place, this guy gets to shine all the time.
Oh, but yeah.
That doesn't work right now. One time when I started working, where I, you know, I'm currently working now, it was that feeling. I can say this, that there have been issues that have come across where I feel like the current management, the immediate management, don't really know the directors above them like I do. And we've bonded. I've got great rapport. But like I say, how do you, you know, how does the world of management really work? What I mean, why does it has to be so stressful? What are you gaining it? I know it. The job itself is a competition, you know?
See, and that's, when it's a competition like that, to me, that's employees pitted against each other. And you don't get the teamwork, you don't get the camaraderie, you don't get really the best out of your employees, because if you have everybody helping each other and working together, it makes everything better. There's, you know, the more you care about the people around you and the people you work with, the better, like, productivity you have, the better job experience you'll have. And as long as that's, like, up through the chains on up and there's not everybody trying to get each other's job or, like, out, you know, out to headhunt and stuff like that, it's...
And I think that's what it's turned into now, you know.
So how do you find success in that kind of work environment then?
You want to hear my success story?
Go for
it. My special weapon
is
called smiling and giving back. You know, people need help. They even call me on my off days. I give them some help because the current management we have there cannot deliver for them. They know one guy in that entire group, even though he's not at work today, they call him anyway. And they go, hey, I have this problem because I have the like factor. And it plays a part in that. If I don't get that back, I don't feel that good about it. I move on to the next person. But because I get that back, they call me again and again. There is a point where you say, no, I'm not available. But you do it in a polite way, and they still respect your wishes.
Sorry, man. I'm wasted. A.K.A. Gale after 5 o'clock at night. I'm actually surprised he's sober right now. Sober-ish.
Oh, wow.
This guy, he never gives it. Hey, man.
You should know my tolerance is so high that's not possible anymore.
But anyway, that's you know, it is what it is right now, and I'm trying to make the best that I can. And, you know, I just someday, hopefully, when I can find something different, which I'm in the process of trying to do, it'll be a lot less stress, and I'll have more time to be on the Jet Theory Radio.
Hell yeah. I'm down with that. That's fine by me. Well, I tell you what, so let's
get on those fun topics.
I was gonna switch gears here. We've got it. Okay, we've talked about work. Relax, that's all fine. Now let's get into something fun. Discontinued foods is a really weird topic that I enjoy immensely. because it's just offbeat, and it's stuff like, it's parts nostalgic and just parts like, what the hell were they thinking at the time that they created it? For example, one thing I always enjoyed was, remember when Heinz ketchup came up with different colored ketchups? You had just standard red, but they also had green, blue, and purple.
No. I don't remember that.
I don't remember that. I remember purple.
I've got a picture
fries.
I'll show you here in studio.
What the?
Purple ketchup over fries.
Mm-hmm. Looks disgusting, doesn't it? Yeah, it didn't work.
Yeah, see, I like that because I could take, I believe it was the green ketchup I enjoyed, and they had blue-colored French fries.
Somebody needed some color coordination or something?
I don't know. I don't know.
Change it up a little bit. Oh. Try something a little fun, a little different.
Oh, man. I guess that's about the same way as them making chips in so many different flavors now. Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of that, the Planters cheese balls.
Remember the blue can?
Mm-hmm.
Like bigger than a tennis ball can.
About that big.
You ever get like an economy size peanut butter? Or see that at the Walmart aisle of like Jif?
Yeah.
That, but it was cheese balls.
Huh.
Made by Planters. The original cheese balls.
You open it up and you just keep going. You keep going. I think there's, because the cheese balls are still out there, but it's not Planters who does it. But it's some other company that I think sold out cheaper to Walmart, and Walmart then mass produced it, and that took over.
Well,
but
Planters were awesome.
Yes, that they were.
Well, there's...
I'm going through the list here. Some of these have come back. For example, Surge has come back, which is... it should have stayed around much. It should have stayed around from the beginning.
Diabetes in a can.
Yes, I will gladly drink diabetes in a can every chance I get. I've got a few cases of it.
You know this one. You know Ecto Cooler.
No.
Mm.
Ghostbusters.
The green high C.
No.
No. Okay. No. We're gonna go down this list.
You know what ectoplasma means?
Yeah, I know that.
It's the color of ectoplasm.
Right, and it's all green
in a Kool-Aid little juice box.
Nope.
A high C little juice box.
Yeah.
I know high C, and I know, oh yeah, Kool-Aid. I mean, come on.
Okay, I'm going to go down this list. You stop me when you've heard one
okay.
of these. French Toast Crunch?
Yes.
Yeah, tasted great in the milk.
Vampire's Secret Ice Pops?
No.
They were they were black cherry on the outside, and then a bright red inside. So when you bite into it, the inside would bleed a little bit, and it's supposed to be like vampire blood.
Oh, wow. Special.
Cinnaburst gum.
Yes.
Mm.
Oh, what? They're discontinued?
They're gone.
No way, because when you bite into it, man, them juices hit your inside, and you're like, man, that's about as bad as Pop Rocks.
Oh, yeah. It's like, I remember... and I know they also don't make this fruit stripe gum.
No,
it's fruit stripe gum and bubble gum. It was like a multicolored zebra was like on the outside of the packaging. Uh-huh. It used to be on a commercials that I tie into when I watched WWF as a kid growing up.
I'm about to say, didn't baseball players eat that?
Yeah.
Yep. And the thing was,
Dumb Bears.
It wasn't supposed to. The flavor wasn't supposed to last long. It literally like after 2 minutes, okay, this is nasty, and you spit it out.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. What's another one here? Yoo-Hoo and Fudgesicle chocolate fudge soda.
Yoo-Hoo is currently being made.
This is chocolate fudge flavored soda. They put their name on chocolate fudge flavored soda. Does that even sound appealing?
That sounds like diabetes in the frozen.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're right.
Oh, weirdly
accelerated
enough.
Diabetes.
Mm-hmm. WWF Superstars wrestling bars. They had like supposed images of WWF wrestlers on like a ice cream sandwich bar on a stick. It was terrible. The printing was like the printing on the advertising was spot on, but the second you get it, it just looked like a blob. It was ridiculous. 3D Doritos.
Oh, the little puffs.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's almost the same thing, but they call them puffs now. It was like take a Dorito. Mm-hmm. And as if you put air in the middle of it somehow, and the two sides, like, puffed out. So it's like a Dorito that's 3D.
Anything for marketing, I tell you, yeah, man.
But really, you're eating a Dorito with a whole bunch of air inside.
That's
of it.
It.
Remember,
that's
remember
bad for you.
The Super Bowl commercial that promoted it was the one where it was some supermodel, I forget who, was in the
Sharon
laundromat.
T? No, I was just reaching
just
out.
Throwing them out there. This is like a Cindy Crawford era kind of
okay.
supermodel. When she was in her heyday.
Is it a Kathy Ireland?
That might have been
hot
it.
Hot diggity dog. Mm-hmm.
Redhead.
Or Yasmin Bleach? Bleach?
Bleeth.
Bleeth. Yeah. It might have been her.
She's the...
Baywatch.
Baywatch lifeguard.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The which, one that's not Pamela Anderson.
Which weird segue. Yeah. Have you guys seen the... Baywatch trailers?
No.
Oh my gosh.
What happened?
For the movie? Is that a ringing endorsement?
That's probably going to put David Hasselhoff out of business, probably. I don't know.
Is he going to... That's the thing I wonder. Is he going to make a cameo?
Of course. It's Hasselhoff.
They got
else?
To.
I want to know who else.
You know what would be cool about that? Stan Lee make a...
No.
Wait,
no, that's because it's not part of the Marvel Universe.
That, no.
The Rock is part of the Marvel Universe then. I like that.
Because here's how you go at the end of the Civil War. Where he goes, I've got a package here. I got a package here for a Mr. Stank.
Tony Stank?
Don Cheadle says, you're never going to live that down. Mr. Stank.
Mr. Stank's right here. Yeah. Right here.
Right here.
Hey, Gene, a Mr. Stank? Right here.
Let's see if I... Hydrox? Sunshine Hydrox cookies. They were pretty much the off-brand Oreo cookies.
Sounds like something from a medical...
Oh, my goodness. The Arch Deluxe. Oh, this is... None of this is ringing a bell here?
No.
Here you go. Clearly Canadian.
No.
The bottled water that was all fruit-flavored?
I clearly wasn't a Canadian.
Don't you know?
Oh, that was...
A.
Was good. That was good. No. Oh, here's one I don't even remember, but I just like the picture of it. The Taco Bell beeper.
Oh, I saw that. Now, see, yeah. I know what that is. So it's a sloppy Joe kind of thing, but really is. It's really loose ground beef. It was bad. Like,
you got to think it's a taco Bell in a bun. Without the taco shell.
So you think of Taco Bell clearing out your insides? This one really did.
I believe you, man.
I mean, it might as well have been a bottle of Metamucil.
That's why I gave it a nickname, Toxic Bell, Toxic Hell. Bad for your system.
There was a high school girlfriend I had who worked at Toxic Hell, she called it.
Mm-hmm.
That was her nickname for it.
Mm-hmm. Actually, that should be a nice topic, too. Nicknames you give some of your old high school and growing up restaurants.
Like the good old Scarf and Barf?
Yeah.
Steak and Shake?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Nicknames you give your famous restaurants.
Here's a cereal there for you. The Batman cereal with the coin box in it?
No.
Or on the outside of it?
Mm-mm.
Then you probably don't remember like the Nintendo cereal either that was the same way. Mario in half the bag, Zelda in the other. Oh my goodness.
What is this guy?
Diet Pepsi AM, which is supposed to be a Pepsi AM soda drink.
Ugh.
Yeah, see, like you think weird Pepsi flavors. Crystal Pepsi comes to mind, but that's back nowadays.
Yeah.
Pepsi Blue, which was a blue raspberry flavored Pepsi. Is Pepsi Max still around?
I think it is.
Okay.
Didn't you guys have something about the Pepsi Clear?
Yeah, I've got
Crystal.
Some. Yeah.
Crystal.
I've got the Crystal Pepsi in the cupboard.
Is that
right
like
there.
Their version of the Zero that's out there now? That they got sodas.
No,
that
it's
are
just
Zero.
It's a clear colored Pepsi. Take out the caramel
coloring.
Coloring. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's what all soda really is.
Mm-hmm.
Kellogg's OJs. They were little orange balls that were supposed to have as much glass as a four or as much vitamin C as a 4 ounce glass of orange juice. They look like little kicks, multicolored kicks kind of stuff.
And so we're talking about items that are being discontinued?
That are gone.
That are gone.
Yeah, that were once popular, once ruled way back when, and now they're out of the way. Like, you can never find Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle cereal.
No.
Ugh.
Maybe.
Well, it'd be a new one, but it wouldn't be the classic cartoon where you pretty much have Chex mix with marshmallows. It's like Lucky Charms, but with Chex.
Well, what about Swiss cheese?
Swiss cheese.
That's still around.
It was like, it was, what kind of thing? It's not Chex Mix. It's Cheez-Its, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like a cracker made to look like a piece of Swiss, because so there's holes in it in various random parts, and it tastes like Swiss cheese.
That, I don't remember that.
Really? It's yeah. good. That one was good.
It was good.
But speaking of cheese...
Oh, you're thinking, yeah, these right here. Flavors Original yeah, Swiss Cheese.
That's
them. Oh. Never heard of it.
Basically Cheez-Its, but Swiss Cheez-Its. But I'm sure Cheez-It beat them in the market, and they never did anything.
Probably even better. Shoot them.
But speaking of cheese, maybe we should move on to what we put...
Oh, you wanna breach that subject? Cheese. You wanna breach that subject?
I've been waiting for this subject.
Oh, okay.
And just for you folks out there, what he's about to discuss is something very delicious to my stomach and heart.
Oh,
well, I think it's delicious to all of our stomachs.
I was enjoying some earlier.
I think we all think we make the best mac and cheese.
Yeah, man. I even want to do a Travel Channel thing about that.
Oh, go to like different restaurants and.
I mean, man, my buddy and John, we talked about it several times, and we thought about, we wanted to, like, start here in Austin and go around town, because there are a lot of restaurants here that, man, they really step it up a notch when it comes to this mac and cheese roll.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so much you can do with it, and I've seen a few here around town, and they've been delicious. I can't say no to it, but sometimes when you're at home... You don't want to go out. You just got to look in the cupboard and see, oh, what's in there? Oh, for me, it's mac and cheese. And it doesn't matter if it's the Kraft in the blue box or the Velveeta shells and cheese or even like a store brand, you know, whatever the local one is, H-E-B or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The thing for me is to mix it with a can of tuna.
Ooh.
Dude. Fish. Wow.
Hey, get out of here. That's good stuff.
No.
The tuna in water.
Uh-huh.
Just get the mix that in after everything's done.
Oh, man, I bet you that tastes pretty... Matter of fact, that sounds pretty good right now, plus.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to go with bacon bits. Not like the pre-made bacon bits, as you make bacon and chop it up. And then...
Mm-hmm. It's more grease
you
up
put in...
Yeah.
Clot you know. Artery.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about boxed mac and cheese. You know, arteries and health like that is out the door.
Diabetes is already given.
Yeah.
And then some kind of Cajun spice.
Hey.
Now, I prefer slap your mama.
I mean...
But I will take most Creole
flavorings. There you go. There you go. There you go.
Just a little bit of seasoning. Mm-hmm. Little bit of something. Heat it up.
Yeah, instead of putting hot sauce, I know a lot of people like to just throw hot sauce on it. You know, it gets a little, it mixes weird.
When
you do the powdered spice like a Creole, I figure it's more thorough.
Well, like, I know a restaurant that does like a buffalo sauce chicken, a piece of chicken, and they put it in the middle of mac and cheese.
Oh.
The buffalo flavoring comes off of that into the mac and cheese, and it not only just changes the color, but the tempo of the flavor really just jumps out.
Oh, really? Just by cooking it in with it?
Oh, my gosh.
So you're talking about a baked mac and cheese.
Yeah, pretty much. And Gino's Restaurant on 6th Street. Man, let me tell you.
Gino's.
Yeah. Man, the flavors in that. Yeah, the richness in that mac and cheese is so good. And when you cut into that buffalo sauce, like that flavored chicken. Dude, I thought I wasn't going to like that.
It's Gino's Pizza. Jerry should know this from Chicago.
Hey.
Well, it's in Chicago when you refer to Gino's as pizza. I don't think of mac and cheese and Gino's in the same sentence.
Oh, they have.
Well, it's an Italian thing.
Well, you know what? That's no. It's pizza first. If we're in Chicago, Texas, it's
okay. Fine.
Fine. Yeah. Actually, it's Gino East, by the way.
Yeah, it's Gino's East.
Okay. So you don't have any like homemade favorites, like?
Oh, now Liz, my wife. Man, let me tell you.
She does make pretty
good. She makes restaurant food like to any level that I can't say it enough. I love my wife for her cooking.
Mm-hmm.
She throws down when it comes to mac and cheese. She's got like 3 different flavors of mac and cheese that she does. And every last one of them has never been a disappointment. Uh-huh. Never.
Mixing vegetables, a spice, a meat.
Some with vegetables. Mm-hmm. No meat. I don't think she's ever did one with any meat, but... Mm. Mostly of different flavors of cheese. You can do one with just a regular, cheddar cheese, mix it up that way. She has another one where she does like these three cheeses, the, what is it called? Asiago?
Asiago?
Yeah, yeah, that and the Parmesan and then Romano. Oh, man. She even makes up combinations. I don't even know. And sometimes she forget, like, I don't know what I put in. I'm like, girl, this restaurant food right
you,
here.
You got to remember it because we're going to put a trailer park up. We're going to be like a food truck trailer and just start the business and just start serving.
I'm telling you, man.
Start serving it.
Now, do you guys put brown sugar in any of them? Make it that style. It's a very bake style. Sometimes they put like breadcrumbs in it.
See, breadcrumbs.
Yeah, she does that too. Yeah.
Brown sugar, breadcrumbs. That.
I've never. That's almost like a sweet looking flavor.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'd imagine that more for like a dessert mac and cheese, adding some brown sugar to that. But
cinnamon or something.
Make it do good.
Be interesting.
Now, cinnamon swirl mac and cheese.
Well, when you mentioned breadcrumbs, I was thinking about Dave & Buster's. They've got a nice, delicious, but it's so rich, they have to make it in a small serving.
Oh, I've seen that, like those kind of things before, where it's just a little, like, you think it's like 4 or 5 ounces of food, maybe, max.
Right.
And it is more than enough.
That picture that they have on that thing, you think it's like this big bowl of mac and cheese?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, that's not what it is. It's like this little kiddie bowl, but it's so rich, that's what they could only give you. And there's another place on 2nd Street, it's called I think it's Max's Wine House or something like that. They got a flavoring with truffles in it, a mac and cheese with truffles in it. Oh my gosh, I'm telling you, everybody's doing something different. That's what I'm like, man, they should have like a bracket. You remember a while back that they had a bracket with the hamburgers and all of that stuff, a competition? Maybe you wasn't here then, but I think they should do that with the restaurants in Austin. They should have a mac and cheese
NCAA tournament style.
That's what I'm saying, man. Cook it off, set it off.
That would be a long day, or a couple of days, and really you'd be stuffed after like the third or fourth stop if you could make it to that even.
Well, I'm gonna tell you.
Would you eat the mac and cheese and then spit it out?
It's like a wine taste, and you go there, and you're like, no, this mac and cheese isn't for my palate.
I'm gonna spoon this mac and cheese for a little while. I'm gonna spit it out.
So I mean, what did your mom cook when she did mac and cheese?
What I consider like a classic mac and cheese would include like hot dogs in it.
Mac and Frank's. Yeah, buddy.
The tuna one was one that we grew up with. That's all I could really think of. Lately I've tried different kind of seasonings and flavors too. I put in red pepper flakes.
Mm-hmm.
And that creates a little bit of an interesting burn. Not too heavy, but just enough kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was always like box mac and cheese or the Velveeta shells and cheese where you just have everything all in one.
So when the last time you've been to H-E-B, have you gone in and you look and you go, mac and cheese is what I look for, but when you get there, dude, there's like this huge mega line of different flavors of cheeses and mac you can do together. The frozen food set.
I keep looking for like a pepper jack cheese in one because I think that'd be enough spiciness in the cheese where it would work just fine. I'll typically get the bacon flavored one.
Right.
Sometimes the more like deluxe ones. I'm trying to think the other one. Have you seen not the jalapeno, but the sriracha?
Yeah.
Chipotle.
And see, good. That's another thing. That flavoring macaroni and cheese is more or less like a sweet thing. When I hear the word chipotle, that's what I think about. It's more like a sweet flavoring of the mac and cheese, which, of course, you know, there are people out there that like that. You know?
Yeah.
But, again, I seriously think they should have that. A travel channel for mac and cheese. The best mac and cheese.
We just gotta start our own. Just travel all over and then we'll be like, no, none of these compare to what we can cook our own. And we just cook our own.
You know, go up to
set up our own restaurant and just go for it.
And park out front of the Congress building and say, hey, got your fresh mac and cheese right here, buddy. Mm-hmm. Right here.
little 3 ounce serving bowls. You make that stuff so rich that just, oh, come
on. $5, player. $5.
Why not?
$5 get you the best cheese in house.
Good. I know, even though I just had it, I'm like, I could go for more mac and cheese right now. So I really could probably make it to 5 restaurants on a trip that we
did. Oh, wow.
I just got to have my
stuff. We're going to go satellite someday from freaking mac and cheese.
I'm telling you, man. Really, what we should do is take about maybe $100 and just go around and just see if we can just find who in town has the best mac and cheese.
Really, you know what would probably make it go, probably make it last longer is just each place one person's got to buy one serving and then everybody just gets into it. And you only have like a bite or two really before you get on to the next.
Yep.
They have little scoring cards and just go crazy with it.
You know, bring some mics with us or something and we can talk about it then and then you can add it into the podcast. Mm-hmm.
True.
Just an idea.
All right. I'm thinking, Myrn, you got any last notes to leave us on? Because I've had my fill. I'm feeling like a little bit of snooze fest.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking about more mac and cheese. Diabetes.
Diabetes.
Yes. Going down.
Oh, bye. No, I think we're good. I mean, we could always talk about one last thing, how James is probably going to end up being a little bit of a regular here.
Yeah, I'm thinking that's definitely going to be something that's going to be happening.
So I have a feeling that mac and cheese might come up again.
And so again. What you're saying is we're going to have homework here.
And again.
If that's
the
scenario.
Oh, do you want a homework assignment?
Homework.
I mean, we want to each try a new mac and cheese recipe and bring it to the table?
Oh, he's saying.
We could have that beforehand, before the podcast, record it, and then like talk during the podcast because I don't want to eat while.
Yeah, don't cook a whole lot of it. Just a little bit.
Well, we do little tasters on air.
Yeah,
we do little tasters on air.
Yeah,
gotta eat a little bit on air.
Yeah,
just not into the mic. Could you imagine how that would? Yeah, oh.
That's funny.
Well, I think that's a good note to leave on because we are running out of time now. James, thank you very much for coming on. I'm sure we'll be seeing you again.
Thanks for having me.
Anytime. Mr. Shady Justice, any parting words?
Good luck on your, what you got going on.
Thank you. All right. Well, as always, please feel free, if you like us, hate us, anything above, please, follow us. Social media, Twitter, Instagram, we got a Facebook page, we got a website that has it all there, Jet Theory Radio, that's JETT TheoryRadio.com. Guys are holding up to the cameras, the Long Walk IPA, which honestly that's one of my favorites, and that's my beer you guys are drinking now that I think about it. No! Alrighty. Well, yes, please follow along the handle once again on all the social media, Jet Theory Radio, JETT Theory Radio. And James, let's end this.
Jet Radio, Jet Radio, Jet Radio, Jet Radio.